value of that, it wasn't that long ago, probably 5 years ago, that it was $60 billion. Now it's $83 billion. So that's a good thing. And it's a particularly good thing now because with that big decline in revenue, we have replaced, partially replaced that with revenue that we get from the earnings of the permanent fund and which we draw at the rate right now under law of no more than 5% a year. It's called the POMV. Percent of market value is what we draw every year now. And with that draw, we pay out dividends, and then we also pay for state expenses. And so far, knock on wood, we haven't had to turn to taxes at the state level. You know, while we all pay taxes, property taxes, that do in some ways go to support a state education, other than that, our contributions across the state as taxpayers are primarily go to city governments, municipal governments, and then, of course, to the federal government. And, you know, some of us would like to keep it that way, but we still have a deficit, a bit of a deficit, or had until this year, which has to be addressed. Okay, so with that said, I think I'm going to turn to the next page. And so, obviously, when we had that big drop in revenue, the first thing we began to do, and that's kind of when I came into office in 2015, and from the very beginning, what I began to hear about is, hey, we've got a problem. We don't have nearly the amount of revenue that we used to have. We need to cut the budget. So we did that, and we have been doing that. And the next page illustrates from 2015, this thing, this graph with lots of figures on it, it illustrates how the budget has been cut for all the agencies, with the exception of education and health and human services, to a significant degree. You can see, for example, transportation, 55% cut back from 2015. And a lot of that, frankly, was cut to the Marine Highway System. Not all of it, but a lot of it was. And we are, of course, we're familiar with that here in Southeast Alaska and Coastal Alaska with the cuts to the Marine Highway System. So we did cut the budget, but we still have some fiscal gap there. And so the question that's now going to be before us is, okay, how are we going to continue to move forward? How are we going to try to do that on a sustainable basis, and one that we don't have to argue every year as to what the permanent fund dividend is going to be, because that takes a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of discussion. And can't we get a formula that's a new and updated formula that will allow us to move forward in an organized way without having to debate that? That's really what the goal has been and will continue to be. And so what is that debate about? If you turn to what I guess would be 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth page or the third page of the actual handout, because it's a two-sided handout, this kind of illustrates the issue. Should we have what the governor wants, which is you take that 5% draw and you split 50% of that money going to the dividend and 50% of that money going to state operations? That's what he would like to see, which would create, we all received about $1,100 dividend. This year, he would have liked to have seen us receive about a $2,350 dividend. I would have liked to receive, as a private citizen, a $2,350 dividend. No, there's no question about that. We all would like that. So that's his idea. And then there's a slight majority in the legislature that includes Senator Stedman and myself that say, nah, that's a little rich, because if you have that large a dividend, then you have that much bigger of a deficit, of a budget deficit, that you're going to have to do something about. You're either going to have to cut the government some more, significant amount more, and it's pretty much going to have to come out of education and health and human services, because we cut the other agencies pretty significantly. And so you're going to have to do that in a big way, or you're going to have to implement some new revenue, some new taxes. And so that's where the kind of the division is. And so you can kind of see what happens with the 50-50 split. You get a $2,350 dividend, but we have a budget gap of about $500 to $700 million, which we would need to come up with new revenue for. Or you go to a 75-25 split, which would give us about a $1,250 dividend as things stand right now. And then we probably won't have to do any new taxes, depending on where oil goes here in the next few years. But we would have less of a dividend, but we wouldn't have the deficit, so we wouldn't have to do new taxes. So that's really what the question is that's before us, and you can go through the rest of the handout. You know, with the governor, let's just give you an example, with the governor wanting to have a $2,350 dividend this year, that, it cost us, the original $1,100 cost us about $800 million. So if we would bump that up another $1,250 to get to $2,350, it would cost us about $1.2 billion. So what does that mean? Well, if you look at that back side with this graph, it looks like this. In order to come up with $1.3 billion, it's a little more rosy than that, but it would take about $1.1 to $1.2 billion to make up that difference. These are the kinds of things where you'd have to get the money from in order to come up with that $1.3 billion if you weren't going to raise taxes. And so that's what that graph's about. And so, what about taxes? I have a couple of bills that are there on the last page that talk about taxes that are at least in the hopper. And I thought maybe before we had this increased projection in revenue coming from the administration, I thought maybe we would have to adopt one of these in this next year. I'm thinking it's going to be iffy now. I'm thinking that there's not as much push to do that based on the fact that oil prices have gone up. They're kind of falling back a little bit again, but they're up there higher than they were for a long time. And so, but if we were to adopt a tax, these are some tax bills that are in the hopper right now, and you can see, you know, the impact of what those would be. We're also possibly going to look at a sales tax. I shouldn't say also. Or we could look at a sales tax and or an income tax. And the last thing I want to leave you guys with before I stop is, I've heard from just different members of you guys and from members in the community that if the state goes to an added revenue in the form of either a state sales tax or a state income tax, I've heard certainly from my city leaders in Ketchikan, but I think I've heard from some of you as well that you would want us to stay away from a sales tax based on the fact that communities like Wrangell and Ketchikan already have a significant sales tax in the neighborhood of, here at Wrangell, 6.9, I think it is.
Seven.
Well, let's round it off to seven then. So it's seven, and in Ketchikan, it's about 6.5. So if you, let's say you adopt a 3% statewide sales tax, what are you guys going to do? What are we going to do down in Ketchikan? So I've heard, and I'm kind of saying this because I want you to tell me if I'm wrong, I've heard that if I had to vote for a tax, either an income tax or a sales tax, which would not be one of these other three bills here, I've heard that you'd want me to vote for a income tax. But tell me if I'm wrong. And you don't have to tell me that right now. You can tell me an email.
The pro for us of you staying clear of sales tax is that we would have to look at our caps in order to make it work. And I believe that there's even state law that caps the amount on the sales tax.
Right.
My second fear is that the state will want to administrate that, and we know that once the state gets its hands on our money, they tend to like to keep our money, and all of a sudden what we get back seems to diminish. So that makes me very scared as well. So we could play a numbers game by increasing caps and decreasing the actual amount, and in some ways that would help the average consumer in the community who's buying food and smaller items on a regular basis if we went. I think the advantage of your income tax idea is you capture people who work on the slope, commercial fishermen that leave the state. We have a large percentage of our population disappears to the south, takes advantage of lower costs of living, while the rest of us stay here year-round and then are struck with the sales tax on top of everything. So that is one thing to consider. But definitely, if the state has a cap on what we can do, that's going to dramatically impact us, and if they want to collect it, that terrifies me.
Okay. Good to know that. You all have my card. If you would like to all to weigh in individually, you can do that and send me an email message or give me a call. And with that, I'm done. And so thank you.
Dan, thank you very much for coming to the community. We really appreciate it. You had a tough job there. Okay. Roll call, please, Kim.
Yes, Assembly Members David Powell.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
Gilbert. Here. Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Powell.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
And Mayor Pretonka.
Here. Item three, persons to be heard, section WMC 3.05.040, states that the chairman called to order any person who is breaching the peace or being disorderly by speaking without recognition, engaging in bullying or catcall, speaking vulgarities, name calling, personal attacks, or engaging in other conduct which is determined by the chair to be disruptive of the meeting. Any person so disrupting a meeting of the assembly may be removed and barred from further attendance at the meeting unless permission to return or remain is granted by a majority vote of the assembly. Kim, do we have anybody to be heard tonight under persons to be heard?
We have Marion Mills, and she is on the line. Wanted to speak on 13C, I believe, if the assembly wants.
Good evening, Ms. Mills. How are you tonight? Ms. Mills, are you on the line? Kim, if you could reach out to Ms. Mills and we could definitely hear from her at the time of the item as well, too.
Well, Amber Hubber is the other person.
Is she okay? Ms. Hubber, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi. Do you want to speak to item 13C as well?
I would assume Marianne is speaking, and she is available now.
Oh, okay. Marianne, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, great. Ms. Mills, I'll give you the option of speaking now under persons to be heard, or I will also allow you to speak right prior to your item, which is item 13, if you want to stick around that long.
Well, I appreciate the chance to speak now instead of later. We are applying for a grant application to the state of Alaska for a replacement bus for the senior center. And in order to apply, we need a resolution from the government to do that. So we are bringing this before you to please pass our resolution.
Okay, thank you very much for commenting tonight. Is there anybody else that wants to speak to any item? All right, thank you. At this point, I'm going to take a little break in our agenda, and I have asked Kim to pull together for us names and departments of people who staff and volunteers that went above and beyond during our recent storm. The storm was something that old timers have told me they've never seen before. I've heard from the fire chief that winds were clocked in excess of 150 miles an hour coming over from one of the Met towers. And I know myself up on the hill, I've never seen anything like it before either. And we went down to the harbor and there was white caps and totes flying around and garbage cans up in the air. It was something else. The community shone after this happened, and we had a whole series of things that took place that required absolutely incredible efforts from individuals to be able to rectify the situation and make sure that people were safe and warm and had oxygen and that roads were opened and the hazard trees were dropped. And normally we just say thank you to the staff, and I at the risk of missing somebody, I said, no, I want to do some names. I want to recognize these people that came out and did the great work that they did to get our community turned around. And so Kim has done her level best to compile a list. And it's fairly lengthy, but I'm going to work my way through it because I think it's important that the community understands how many folks were involved in keeping our community safe. So the top of my list is the temporary emergency shelter set up and takedown. And that was at the Nolan Center, and they created a warm space that had its own generator initially, and also then was one of the first buildings to get power back. And Captain Spray and Chief Buness and Jamie Roberts, Lucy Robertson, Lee Wiederspoon, Jack Carney, Cindy Carey, Tyler Eagle, Rowan Wiederspoon, Maya Wiederspoon, Ethan Blatchley, Ryan Rooney, Jane Early, Lucas Schneider, Stephen Bales, Randy Churchill III, Della Churchill, Renee Roberts, Jack Roberts, Jake Eastoff, Leanna Carney, J.C. Hay, Devlin Campbell, Anna Allen, Carter Hammer, and Brody Gardner. And if that sounds like the wrestling team is in there, they were. And they came down and set up beds and cots, and I've got something else on that here in a minute. But they basically got an emergency shelter set up. Those kids came out in the middle of the storm and helped out, and those adults as well. So really appreciate that. Assisting with the delivery of oxygen generators for home oxygen, CPAP folks, and the movement of persons on home oxygen. One of the things that happened out the road is when we lost power, people who are on oxygen generators and CPAP in their homes didn't have the ability to generate oxygen any longer. And so we had a team of people that were just taking care of those folks, and it was many of our EMTs, Captain Spray again, Dorian, Walter Moorhead, Chief Buness, Jordan Buness, Chris Buness, Adam Spray, Jim Nelson, Sam Persanka, and Dustin Johnson. So these folks went and helped out in making sure that folks that needed to get to the hospital got to the hospital. Then we had a team went out and actually went door to door out the road to check on our old timers and make sure they were okay. It was Captain Spray, Dorian again, Lucy Robinson, Alex Fritz, Jamie Roberts, Chris Buness, and Terry Buness. And then we had the whole crew that assisted in dealing with the downed lines. And this was an incredibly complex thing. If you can imagine, everything that has to do with a wire was all of a sudden on the road. So we had our main power lines from SEPA, from TAI coming in. Those were on the road. We had the lines going out the road to give power the opposite direction. They're on the road. We had APT's lines on the road. We had GCI's lines on the road. We had the fiber optic line that now comes in down at Shoemaker, used to come in over here in town. It was on the road. So we lost everything with a wire all of a sudden in one fell swoop. But these folks all stepped up and made sure that we were able to get things rolling again. Clay Hammer, who's our SEPA manager, was on the scene at City Park area with the SEPA EPC crew. And that is a contract crew that SEPA uses to deal with these very, very specific high-tension power lines. They flew in from Anchorage. And by the way, they left that night and basically overnight in Juneau, and they were on the morning flight. Those guys were here within hours. It's amazing. The search staff, they blocked traffic on Wood Street until Public Works was able to get on scene to shut down the road as the tree from WCA was about to come down. I was there. Lynn and I were driving up to the hospital, and these guys stopped us, and they made sure that we were safe and that there was a tree coming down and got us to go the opposite way. And, you know, basically, they were out there managing traffic for us. Sarah Aflam, and Sarah, is that correct? Is pronouncing it correctly?
Sarah,
sorry. Of your last name, though, Aflam?
Aflam.
At the Wrangell Sentinel, for providing constant updates to the community as the acting borough manager provided them. Sage Smiley at KSPK for providing constant updates to the community as the acting borough manager provided them. Bernie Masson. Bernie shows up on scene with a generator with lights, and that was set up during the reinstallation of City Park site. Dale Parkinson gets on Facebook and makes sure that if anybody needs a ride from City Park out the road because we couldn't get vehicles past, he was willing to take them home. Frank Warfel Jr. led Wrangell Municipal Light and Power the 1-inch line rope for setting the pole that they needed. This is sounds like it was a king crab pot line that's super strong. Frank shows up with some line for us. Bruce Smith Sr. drove down Samovia Highway looking for downed trees and anything else that was reportable. Wrangell Island Tree Service, Glenn Decker and Bob Lippert were involved with tree removal at the WCA and City Park. Incredibly dangerous work. The Wrangell Fire Department provided one of their trucks for additional lighting. Johnson Construction got their boom truck running to help reset the poles. My understanding is we don't have a boom truck on site that's large enough for dealing with the poles that SEPA has. Johnson's came through for us. Paul Loftus, Luke Schultz, and Kevin Fish, staff from AP&T and GCI, were on scene helping. Willie Bloom and Gary Ellen with the Department of Transportation for the state were on scene the first night to get the Movia Highway opened back up and kept the airport open in the midst of this emergency. The Anchorage-based SEPA electrical contractors with EPC, that's electric power contractors, flew in on Wednesday, December 1st and worked from 11 a.m. through the night to restore the power out the road approximately to approximately 120 homes. The UNS Electric helped get a broken meter fixed for the water treatment plant. Shauna Buness and Devin Moody at Sweet Ties provided food for the crews working through the night. Catherine and James George at Zach Cafe provided food. Joss and Clarissa Young at J&W's provided food. Jake Harris at the Stikine Inn showed up with coffee and made sure everybody had coffee through the night. City staff, I just cannot begin to say how proud I am of our city staff and everything that they did that night. Every single staff member was on deck and assisted not only in their departments, but wherever they were needed. Jeff Good, interim borough manager, was in communication with staff and offered direction where needed. Dave Briner from Public Works Garage ensured generators were running at various locations around town. Wayne McCollin from the water treatment plant kept the water treatment plant running and cleared the road of downed trees to the lower reservoir. Amber El Haddad provided communications assistance for Wrangell Municipal Light and Power. Matt Shiner, and I hope I'm saying his last name right, Capital Facilities provided Wrangell Municipal Light and Power assistance and wherever else he was needed. Kate Thomas, a Parks and Rec Director, provided PNR damage assessment and communication. Lane Fitzgerald, our Parks and Recreation Maintenance Person, provided damage assessment and standby and stood by for assistance. Lucy Robinson of Parks and Rec provided Parks and Rec information, sharing and assisted with the setup and takedown of temporary emergency shelter. Kim Lane is acting manager for providing updates to community staff and the assembly. And I'm going to stop there for a minute. So Kim was our acting manager that night. And what a night to be acting manager. My goodness, I just cannot say enough at how hard Kim worked and just the incredible job that she did. And she was on top of it and was just a hard driver on this thing. And nothing got missed. This woman nailed it 100%. And I'm so proud of you, Kim. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I couldn't have done it without you guys. Everybody.
Nathan Villarma, our finance director, just started writing checks and throwing them out the window. Finding money, losing money, put it up. Mason was there and just assisted wherever he was needed, and that's at all hands on deck. Sherry Cullen, Finance Department, fielded calls coming in from the public. Aaron Andreessen, Finance Department, fielded calls and made sure the office stayed running. Robbie Marshall, Finance Department, fielded calls coming in from the public and kept in contact and provided constant updates to staff on the internet service disruptions. Rod Rhodes, Wrangell Municipal Light and Power Superintendent, for providing assistance with generators and management role in restoring power to the community. Thank you very much for all your efforts that night, Rod. Dominique O'Connor, Wrangell Municipal Light and Power, provided communication assistance. Mark Armstrong, Wrangell Municipal Light and Power, for his role in the repair and replacement of power poles and power restoration. Dwight Yancey, Wrangell Municipal Light and Power, for his role in the repair and replacement of power poles and power restoration. Chris Stewart, Wrangell Municipal Light and Power, for his role in the repair and replacement of power poles and power restoration. Jacob Hammer, Harbor Department, who assisted with Wrangell Municipal Light and Power. Jacob gets called up. He's a trained lineman, and they call him up to come help whenever he's needed, and we really appreciate his willingness to do that. Tom Weider, Public Works Director, for providing damage assessment and constant communication. Jeff Rooney, Public Works, who worked through the night to assist SEPA and EPC's crews digging holes and providing any other assistance necessary. Lauren Cook, Public Works, who worked through the night to assist SEPA and EPC crews. Stan Campbell, Public Works, who supported cleanup efforts and took the lead on snow removal. Tom Gillen, Public Works, who supported cleanup efforts and took the lead on snow removal. Andrew Scambler, Public Works, got the generators going to the lift station and the wastewater treatment plant, monitored operations, and then managed the restart. Brian Christian, Public Works, got the generators going for lift stations with Andrew, monitored operations, and also worked on the restart. Tom Ratke, Police Chief, provided overall supervision of the police force and constant communication. Bruce Smith, from Police Department, provided traffic assistance. Okay, please help me with your lease last name. All right, I'm going to try, but you all got to be kind. Bezbenko? Police Department, provided traffic assistance. Connor Phillips, Police Department, with traffic assistance. Damian Rohr, Police Department, provided traffic assistance. Nick Pearson, Police Department, provided traffic assistance. Cindy Carey, at the Nolan Center Director, assisted in the temporary emergency shelter. So, if I miss somebody, I am so sorry. But just the volume of people involved in this endeavor to get us up and running is absolutely staggering. And I know that from Search's side, they had the same sort of response to keep their operations up and running and going. So I want to just say for myself, and I know from on behalf of the Assembly, thank you to everybody and our city staff, especially here. We really appreciate everything that you guys have done, and we really thank you for keeping us safe. All right, that was long, I know, I apologize. One other thing that I want to mention, my heart goes out to Matt McCabe that suffered an unfathomable tragedy with the young person being killed, and we just want to send them our thoughts and prayers, and I just hope that community is able to heal. These sort of things are just horrible to hear. I was getting, my list was growing. I know, Patty, I'm on it. Give me a break here. All right, we want to congratulate our wrestlers. Yeah. Division 1, 2, 3, A champions, and on their championship, and they're off to state, and they'll be wrestling on Friday and Saturday, and we're incredibly proud, and it was wonderful that they were able to have the tournament here in Wrangell, and so fantastic job to them.
And congratulations to the coaches, Jeff, our own Jeff Rooney and Jack Carney.
Absolutely, fantastic job. Very, very pleased. All right.
Old city newsletter?
That's in Jeff's report.
Oh, okay. But you should have a letter. You should have one of the community stories.
I do. I'm going to hold.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Is there any amendments to the agenda tonight? Hearing none. Move on to conflict of interest. None. We'll move on to the consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda submitted.
Moved by Gilbert, seconded by Morris. Any discussion? Hearing none, pull vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item number 7, Borough Manager Report. Jeff?
Mayor, just a couple things. I did want to thank Kate for the newsletter she put together. It was very well done, and really appreciate it. It was a lot of work, so just really want to thank her for doing that. Just want to really quick, as far as what my comments are, is to go over our one thing that I have done based off the storm that we just talked about was I went ahead and submitted a disaster declaration for the city of Wrangell. We're still compiling the overall cost of it, so we should hopefully have that in the next day or two. Once that's done, then I'll be submitting that to the state for assistance, mainly from a financial standpoint. We're already kind of through the cleanup. We still have a couple more things to go in City Park that we're looking at, and then a few other areas where we have trees that are posing a hazard. So we're working through that, but for the most part, we've tackled most of the big issues. Now it's just trying to help us out on recouping some of the funding that we just didn't have budgeted for this scale of disaster that we had. So working on that, and that was all I had for mine. And then go ahead and turn it over to Dee Dee for the you want to go through the windstorm brief? I'm hoping. You scared me for a minute. It was
okay. Did everyone get a copy of the report? Okay. That is just a quick overview of kind of the event events that took place, there's definitely some things that are missing as far as, you know, times when things occurred, but as far as when the wind hit, when power went out, when the hospital power went down and came back up, then our phone and internet for community, you know, those big items that kind of impacted a lot of people are in that report. We did have an after action here at the Assembly Chambers the Monday following, and I've listed out everybody who was in attendance there. We just went around the room, figured out kind of what happened from their view and what resources were put into play for each department, and then what could we do better? You know, there's always something we can do better on the other end, and we want to improve on, or resources that we need and we didn't realize, like Bernie's light tower. Holy goodness, there was rave reviews on that one. But just overall, things went really, really well, and we wanted to go through and just figure out what we can do better as a community. And from communication standpoint, getting two-way handheld radios to Kim, to City Hall. You know, they don't have a base station here, but they need to have something in case power goes down. Working with the hospital for alternate communications. And it's amazing how many generators this community has, but yet still needs. And a lot of that was identified in those discussions. On that Monday following everything, there's probably still pieces that as we put stuff together, we're going to realize we left out. Like those were things that we could really use. So I would imagine that we'll be adding to our report after the fact. But there's a lot of things that we do need to work on. One of the large items was our emergency operations plan for the city. We've kind of brought that up over and over. It was written in 2001 and has really never been looked at since. So somewhere it's holding up all the other binders that are really important there. But we really need to address that. Wrangell Light and Power has all of their processes and procedures, and they're constantly reviewing those. They implement them as soon as power goes out. You know, they have a process that they follow. The hospital's emergency operations plan has recently been updated. Now, since they've moved facilities, I don't know if that's happened, but there's still a basic outline for them, and we as the city need to really look at updating our emergency operations plan. That was identified through our discussions. The need for more people than just myself to operate Nixle, that was identified. Having the backup radios, like I said, and the satellite phone, we'll be working on making sure that we consolidate, make sure everyone has the same channels on their radios, not consolidate, but make sure everybody has the same radios, and that those who need radios have radios, or sat phones, or an in-reach, some type of backup. Our incident commands and the ICS structure, we discussed that along with the hospital. We did identify more folks maybe need to be familiar with the incident command structure and possibly getting some other folks through PIO so some pressure can come off of Kim if she's put in that situation again. And then a need to train personnel if they're deployed to do different jobs outside of what their norm is. We had a number of folks who were put in positions for traffic control and some discussion about PPE and making sure that everyone has high vis. So there's some things, some safety pieces that we've identified, and we've already identified some funding sources for some of those pieces. And also consider, I think it's important for us to consider creating a CERT program, a community emergency response team. Right now we rely heavily on the fire department. The wrestling team was awesome, but it may not be available at all times. So it's important to look kind kind of to the future. We have a wonderful MMRS trailers with a ton of emergency supplies in there. And the fire department is very knowledgeable in how to set it up, and we know what's in there. But nobody else does. And so I think it's good to consider expanding that and just looking to create an emergency response team or consider that. So in that report, there's a number of different areas that we identified things to work towards, but really overall, things went well. The mayor highlighted just all the good that came from the power and everything being knocked down and everybody helping where it was needed. So just summarize in your report.
Hang on one second.
Cool.
Does anybody have any questions for Captain Spray? You're off the hook.
So, Mayor, just want to add that, again, I want to thank Kim for stepping in and taking over. It was great. There was a lot of pressure on her, and I think one of the key lessons we learned in talking about the emergency operations plan is that by default, we should be looking at the set up the incident command because that has a structure there. They'll take a lot of that pressure off, you know, whoever that is that's in that role. Looking in the future, that's one of the first things we'd probably be looking at if something like this happens. Just go ahead and set it up, and if we don't need it, you can always trim down from there. But at least initiating it, getting it going, and then just scaling up or scaling down depending on what we need.
Perfect.
And going through the rest of the borough manager report, if there's any questions on any of the specific reports, I know one that we have added, and I'm not sure if everyone had a chance to go through it, was the Wrangell freight study. I'm not sure if we wanted to talk about that during this or if we wanted to just let everyone read it. But other than that was the biggest use that we had.
The only question that I have on the freight rate study, and I've had a chance to review it, but I would like to have a working group to me, it's one thing to produce these studies, but I really think we need to dig into it a bit. It would be nice to have Renko's data at the table with us and sort of work through it. And I don't know when that can happen. And I just want to make sure that we're comfortable moving forward, because it basically, the freight rate study, in my opinion, shows a zero action item on our behalf moving forward. So we have to take a look at that and make sure that that is not the outcome that I thought we were going to have. But that's why I wanted to do it, was to make sure that before we go squawking, that there's something to squawk about. But I wouldn't mind at some point putting together a working group in the new year to sit down and go through it, and I'd want Carol there for sure too. So that'd be great. Anybody else, any questions on borough manager's report?
The report from the harbor master on Myers Chuck airplane float repair, excellent. Loved the pictures. It gave me a sense of all the hard work that was involved. And I also know the harbor had their hands full during the windstorm.
Yeah.
So we thank you for everything you did to save our boats.
Do we ever retrieve our garbage containers at Harris?
This isn't in front of Dave Powell's house.
Perfect.
I'm keeping an eye on
you. You got the memo.
Filling them up.
And Mayor, we should let the department heads know that we do appreciate their reports and the manager's report.
Absolutely.
It really helps us keep things straight.
Anybody else? Anything else on the borough manager's report? Hearing none. Borough clerk's file.
So just a couple things. I'll keep it brief. I'm still planning on having the post-election training. The attorney is going to be here the day before the training, which is set for January the 8th. And I will send out a reminder as it gets closer. He's going to be here for the January 11th meeting as well. And that is going to be, the training is going to be on OMA and parliamentary procedure. We're going to kind of combine it
he said it should take just like, 2.5 hours or so. That's if there's no questions. Just everybody listen. Just kidding. And then, also, my, clerk's organization for the state of Alaska, elected me as the communications director. And so that's a 2-year appointment. And I'm really excited about that, mostly because my primary role is the website, and it's the same type of website we use. So it's the same Municode website. So they just had to give me a username and password, and I was good to go. So I'm very excited about that. So I was very humbled to be elected to that. Also, with regard to the storm, I want to thank the mayor very much. And I feel like, you know, emotional a little bit because he like answered the phone every single time I called, every single time. And when me and Mason showed up at his door, he answered the door, you know, so the lights went out and the lights were out or all the communications were out. I mean, and we had no cell service, no internet service. And I'm like, I have to give an update. So we went down to the city park area, you know, kind of got the information and then went to the mayor's house to give him an update. But as far as like all of the department heads and everything, you know, the communications were huge for me because I couldn't provide the updates if I didn't have the updates. And so I appreciated that very much. And the assembly members, you know, you guys messaged me back and said, let us know if we can help and let us, you know, and I appreciated that very much. I do agree that we need to see about having another PIO train because it was difficult to do everything and then provide updates, but I have to give updates. So anyway, again, I just really want to highlight my appreciation to you, Mr. Mayor. You helped me get through that, believe it or not. And you did not mention the things that you did for the community as well. So you helped in a lot of that capacity as well. And I appreciate that, and I'm sure that the community appreciates it too.
Thank you, Kim. Anything else on the borough clerk's file?
No.
Thank you. All right. Mayor and assembly business. Anybody have any item 9?
I do.
Okay. Assembly member Powell, about the garbage cans up front of your house.
Not very happy about that. I just got there's a lot of thank yous going on around tonight, and I was going to do this anyways. I've traveled the last 5 or 6 days all over Alaska, and I got to say kudos to our crews. Even the state out there on our airport, unbelievable. I flew into a couple airports, and I didn't even know if we were going to get out or even land there. Come here, and I see people complain a little bit about snow removal, and I'll tell you what, they have no idea about the other towns. It is unbelievable what Wrangell looks like when there's a snowstorm, and I want to say thank you to all the crews that did that snow removal. When we had it, it is impeccable as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, David.
Yep.
Anyone else? All right, I'll give a quick CEPA update. We had an 11-hour meeting on Friday. We started at 8 and finished at 7 or 7:15. The final topic of the meeting was a rate increase that we have board has voted for putting through 0.25% increase. This is the first increase that we've put forward in over 20 years. We've never increased our rates. And the issue for us is, like the city, we have daunting infrastructure costs coming up. Cable replacements, we were a little bit shocked when we replaced the cable going across from Midco to Banks, and it was, I think, $13 or $14 million. Luckily, we had some insurance for failure on that one, but we have to start replacing and getting prepared to replace. The actual infrastructure is just aging out, and we've got to be prepared. You know, we can't wait till it happens and then try to deal with it. So there will be a rate increase, and the city, I believe this will be coming through as of February 1 to the city. So
January
there's a 1
20th.
Month.
January 20th.
January
20th. January 20th.
20th? Okay. Is that what they said to you?
Cut off.
Okay. And then there's going to be another rate increase probably at the end of next year. The board we'll be looking at another rate increase, and again, just to grow our reserves enough to be able to deal with the pending infrastructure crisis that we're going to be facing. So I think we calculated out that to the average homeowner, it will be between $3 and $5 a month throughout the course of the year. And of course, commercial would be variable. So that's that. Anybody else? All right. Item 10, Mayor and Assembly Appointments. We have one appointment to fill the vacancy of the alternate member on the CSWA, the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority Board of Directors. And we don't have any names for that. Or do we, Kim? Sorry.
Valerie Massey, correct.
We have Valerie Massey has put in a letter of interest for that, and we will accept her to that board if you'd let her know that she's been approved for that board. I would appreciate that. Yay. Item 11A, public hearings. Community development block grant, coronavirus, accepting alternative proposals for funding consideration and seeking further citizen views and community comments on proposed projects for funding under the fiscal year 20 community development block grant coronavirus CDBG-CV program and selecting process. Now, believe it or not, there's actually a script I have to follow. All right, I will declare this public hearing open. And I'll ask if there's an administrative report for the public hearing item. Carol?
Yes, thank you. As you all are aware, Mayor, there is a formal process that we have to follow to meet the grant requirements. We just went through the normal community development block grant program process in October and September. This is a new one, specifically designed towards COVID. And this public hearing is required to be held to provide an opportunity for the community to comment on and suggest potential projects eligible for the community development block CDBG-CV COVID program. And to also comment specifically on projects that staff has brought forward as for potential funding consideration. We have posted on Facebook, we've done our in the newspaper, on the radio. I've only received one additional project suggestion, which I will go through here shortly. The national goals for the program are to provide financial resources to communities for community development, including building improvements to public facilities used to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus. All funds are to benefit low and moderate income persons, and our community is 52.8% low and moderate income, as we had determined by a survey back in 2017, I think it was. The state guideline is to prevent, prepare for, and respond to the spread of coronavirus. I'm having trouble talking. My apologies. So the State of Alaska program funds may only be used to fund community development activities carried out to prevent, prepare for, and respond to coronavirus. By law, use of funds for any other purpose is unallowable. The types of eligible activities include reconfiguration of interior spaces to reinforce social distancing, ventilation systems, interior physical barriers such as the plexiglass, temperature, humidity, and air quality sensors to reduce airborne transmission, standalone sinks and hand washing stations, replacement of fixed windows with operable windows, accessibility improvements for persons with disabilities that reduce contact, installation of drive-through or walk-up windows, technology improvements to support remote access, modification of roadways and sidewalks to allow for social distancing, creation of outdoor areas with shade covers and seating that ensure physical distancing, and exterior physical barriers such as fencing or planters to, again, create the social distancing. Staff has developed a list of, I think, seven projects here for consideration. One is the recreation facilities HVAC upgrades, which is estimated to be about $150,000. There's some failed systems within the pool and the recreational facility. The library carpet replacement, which is estimated to be about $75,000. It's old, and you have a lot of kids on the floor during programs and the dorms. I think you all had a meeting last night on the public safety building, but that was a recommendation that says change those controls. Harbor staging area for cruise ship passengers. The charter operators have in the past tried to, there's such limited space down there, but have suggested trying to figure out sort of a covered area for staging the passengers, and that might be able to be created also for social distancing persons while they're social distancing while they're staging to get on their tours. We don't have a, it's sort of estimated $100,000, but we don't have any design work, and one criteria for this, for the grant really is that it's projects are ready to go. A child care facility, again, cost is unknown. The primary school window replacement, the school doesn't necessarily have fixed windows, but a lot of them I think are nailed shut. So to me, that's pretty fixed. So there's the possibility of replacing the windows there with operable windows. And then the community center emergency shelter generator replacement. The community center is considered one of our emergency hazard litigation is our emergency shelter. So it would need a new generator facility there. A new proposal that came in today through the solicitation is to investigate alternate space and or changes to current senior center facilities to provide larger space for the growing elder population, expand our food service, and improve access and ventilation to the building.